We got to eat, and we have to live somewhere, even during COVID. Two takes on housing under pressure here in the hot days of 2020. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. A number of people behind on their mortgages. That number swelled in May with nearly 4.5 million homeowners late on payments. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here. Nova, this is the highest in a decade.
Yeah, the numbers are headed in the wrong direction, David. 723,000 additional mortgage delinquencies in May. That's after a jump of more than 1.5 million delinquencies in April. These numbers are being reported by Bloomberg, which is citing the property information service Black Knight. And the numbers mean that more than 8% of all U.S. mortgages were past due or in foreclosure in the month of May.
How does this square with news just last week that the federal mortgage backstoppers, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, are extending the pause on evictions and foreclosures until the end of August?
Yeah, well, the number of delinquencies being reported include borrowers who were in forbearance, so they have some kind of deal with their lender to not be penalized for missing payments for now. But again, here, the numbers are going in the wrong direction. During the early days of the pandemic shutdown, nearly half of homeowners in forbearance agreements still made their payments. But as of last week, that number is down to about 15%. More homeowners might be able to take advantage of new rules, letting them withdraw money from their retirement savings without penalties. The CARES Act made that possible, and the IRS now says more people will be eligible, including spouses of laid-off workers. They can withdraw money to shore up household finances.
All right, interesting, Nova. Thank you. We're also getting new info on what was selling in late spring, houses new and houses that had a previous owner. While some cooped up center city dwellers in places like New York have been looking for greener pastures in the suburbs, at the same time, the awful economy, as referenced above, is hurting people's ability to buy. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Plenty of people still want to buy homes right now, especially with mortgage interest rates staggeringly low. Zillow economist Skylar Olson sees it in the company's data on deals that are in the works.
Pending sales hit their, you know, absolute bottom relative to last year in mid-April, and since then have now risen to become almost 14% higher than this time last year.
But the number of homes for sale is down 17% from this time last year, and that's propping up prices. The supply of new homes is also tight. The pandemic has slowed building. Allie Wolf is chief economist with Myers Research. In a survey of builders, she says more than half said they'd raised prices in the past week.
Why would they slash their prices right now? They have no reason to.
That could change, though, when emergency unemployment benefits and other relief programs expire. The National Association of Realtors found that almost half of homeowners have considered selling because they can't afford their mortgage payments. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers here. The FTSE stock index, the 100 share index in London, is down about 0.1%. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up 0.9%, plus 219 points on the Dow future. New York City enters a new phase of reopening today. This includes hair and nail places. Some stores not in malls can reopen. Macy's biggest store in Manhattan is opening, for instance. An estimated 300,000 more people will start going into work in that city. What about the protective gear for people who have to work? Plexiglass visors, disinfectant. Those aren't free, so who should pay? Here's Marketplace's Jasmine Garst.
Scott Sanders owns Tobacco Barn Distillery in Southern Maryland. About 50% of his revenue came from tastings where people would also buy his bourbon. He's planning to reopen soon, but he has to take new precautions.
One, we're going to have to get some outdoor tents, you know, like a wedding tent type of thing. And then you have to clean after every guest. All the tasting cups have to be disposable.
For now, Sanders says he's going to absorb the cost of all that, even though his business has dropped off by about 90%. In order for his customers to come back, he says they need to feel safe without an extra charge. But some businesses are adding a clearly stated COVID-19 surcharge, often between 3 and 5%, to cover stuff like masks and gloves. Others have just quietly raised prices. Ted Rassman is an analyst with CreditCards.com.
Many customers feel caught off guard. The perception is very negative. And I think that this is really much more of a public relations issue than a financial one.
Businesses should be transparent about COVID-19 related charges, says Lynn Kizas, a lawyer in New Jersey who specializes in consumer protection.
Certainly, a business is generally going to be free to raise their prices to reflect whatever increase in overhead they may have. I mean, that may be rent, insurance, labor costs, material costs.
What companies can't do is advertise one amount for a product or service, but then charge more. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
We've been reporting on the mess at the digital payments company Wirecard, the PayPal competitor based in Germany. The CEO quit last week after auditors couldn't find about $2 billion listed in Wirecard's books with foul play suspected. Well, was it stolen? Indications today are the money never existed. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more.
The missing $2 billion was supposed to have been in accounts in the Philippines for use in managing Wirecard's Asian business. But the Central Bank of the Philippines says the money appears never to have entered the country's financial system. Last week, the firm's chief executive resigned and its auditor refused to approve last year's accounts. Now the company says the balances reported to be in the Philippines probably never existed. The company's share price has fallen by more than three quarters in less than a week.
That was the BBC's Andrew Walker. We're also looking at an updated IRS rules for people borrowing from their tax-free retirement savings during this emergency, those who have such accounts. Marketplace Morning Report podcast, if you missed that on the air later. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.